Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, who is normally on the broadcast, is away on a ministry venture. But in his place today, we have the great privilege of continuing a discussion that we began in the last broadcast with a guest host, Dr. Steve Pettit. Steve, I think you are the camp director at Northern Camp and Conference Center, and you're also involved in full-time evangelism.
Yes, fact is, about 9 months of the year, we're on the road in our itinerant ministry preaching. And then during the summer months, we're devoted to Northern Camp and Conference Center.
And we have the great privilege at Brookside Baptist Church of having you as one of our church members and as our staff evangelist, and we're so thankful.
We're loving being there. Thank you.
How long have you been in evangelism?
I'm starting my 24th year.
And at the camp, you've been every summer for?
Been here 26 years.
So actually 2 years before you were in evangelism.
Yes, I have served for about 18 years as the camp evangelist. And maybe even upwards to about 20 years. And then for the last 6 years, I've been the full-time camp director.
Now, your family travels with you?
Family travels. Now, I have three children that are out of the home, one in college, one in grad school, and one out of school altogether. And two of them live in Milwaukee and go to the church at Brookside. And then we have an 11-year-old.
And, of course, your wife, Terry, we've all been praying for her. We're thankful for what the Lord has done in her life as he sustained her physically.
Amen.
Through all
yes.
of the trials that you folks have been through.
Yes, sir.
Well, we have been talking about developing a discerning mind. And in the first broadcast in this series, we sat down and talked about the priority of developing biblical discernment. We talked about the need for it in light of the complexities of life and in light of the fact that we need to develop a consistency in worship. And we kind of ended by talking about the fact that there's a real crisis for this, even in the leadership of our own movement and sometimes even in our own life.
Absolutely.
And I wonder, it might be helpful, Steve, just to kind of get us back on track in the discussion, if you could just give us again just an overview in your mind of what discernment is.
Well, discernment, by definition, is the ability actually to separate or the ability to divide things. The idea is that we can identify differences and then have to make judgment decisions. We do that all the time in life, shopping, buying, leadership, at work. But this is particularly in the realm of spiritual things.
Now, you noted for us in the last broadcast that there's a side of this that's developed.
Mm-hmm.
And you took us to Hebrews and you read a passage to us, or at least pointed us to a passage that talks about the fact that we can actually develop this as believers by reason of the use of our senses in terms of the Word of God to tell the difference, or at least to make good decisions about what's good and what's bad.
Absolutely. It is a developed skill. Man is involved in it. But then there's also the fact that God also gives discernment.
And that's really kind of the side we want to look at today, because one of the things I think that would be helpful to me, at least, and probably to all of our listeners, is to see it in actual flesh and blood. Is there a pattern anywhere in the scriptures that you can think of where this whole idea of discernment is just captured in the life of a person?
Yes, fact is, it's found in the third chapter of the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament. And actually, it's the story of the beginning of the reign of King Solomon. Solomon, the son of David, had just become the king of Israel. And in the history here, he had exterminated a number of his father's former antagonists. He leaves the city of Jerusalem in 1 Kings chapter 3, and he goes north about 5 to 7 miles to a community called Gibeon. And at this time, this is where the tabernacle or the tent of meeting was located. And there was also the brazen altar where they gave sacrifices. And during a day, we discover that Solomon offers to God in worship 1,000 burnt offerings. Could you imagine the glorious scene of lambs and priests and musicians corresponding together with blood and fire and song, the glories of Jehovah?
I mean, that is an incredibly lavish praise and worship that took place that day. Because, one lamb would have been enough.
Yeah, and this was all-out worship. And then at the end of the day, while he is taking his rest, the Bible tells us that God appears to him by divine revelation through a dream, which was not uncommon in the Old Testament. And what's very interesting, as it says in verse 5 of 1 Kings 3, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, that's an amazing thought. God is asking a man, what do you want me to give you? And he places no stipulations upon the request. And what was the response? We read down in verse 9. He said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." And so he asked God to give him discernment. Now, what's very interesting is when you study this, I think it's important that we ask some really relevant questions. Number one, is this story valid for us today?
Well, I was going to ask that because, you know, we're dealing with an Old Testament text that's kind of removed from the everyday circumstances of most people going to work this morning are not going to be in Solomon's spot.
No, fact of the matter is there are unique elements to this story that make the story unique in itself. God appearing to a man in a dream, God asking a man, "What do you want from me?" And so those are things that will never be repeated. However, we do know that these things were also written for our learning,
right,
for our example. And the general overall truth that is very applicable is that all who are in spiritual leadership, like Solomon, are in need of and can ask God for discernment.
Now, who would some of those people be?
Well, it would be anybody in a leadership position. It would be a pastor. It would be a teacher. It would be an evangelist.
A deacon.
A deacon, a Sunday school teacher. But who's in leadership? A mother? A father? People in the business world that are working day by day? Christians who are involved in positions of life where they're trying to handle people? Even today, I was in need of discernment in how to handle situations and how to approach people and what to say and what I shouldn't say. All of these things that come to us in our own life. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the ways that we know that this is a valid application is because Solomon wrote an entire book in the Bible that was to give us wisdom and discernment. It's the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
In fact, it's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding." So we get wisdom first and foremost through God's Word. We have to know what God's Word has to say. That's probably a part of the major reason why people lack discernment. But also, we need to seek it. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." And that word is the idea of discernment. And the entire passage here, verses 1 to 6 in chapter 2, is the testimony that God gives discernment to those who fear the Lord and to those who seek it. So what we discover is that this is a very practical application for us.
Yeah, anybody can have this.
Anybody can have it because we all are in a position where we have to make decisions.
It's interesting to me, you make the tie to Proverbs. I mean, here's Solomon. He asked God for wisdom. God gave it to him, and he wrote it down.
And he wrote it down. Absolutely.
And it's inspired and preserved for us. So we actually have a good bit of the wisdom and the discernment that God gave to Solomon that he's praying for right here in verse 9.
And you know what else is very interesting? When I studied this passage out, there's a second question that I had to ask, and that is there any kind of attitude that precedes the reception of discernment? In other words, can we just ask God for discernment? Or do I need to have something in my heart and my life that has to be there in order to receive it? And I think it's very clear that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom and discernment is given to those who start with the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we look at this story, it is very clear that this man Solomon feared the Lord.
Now stop for a second there, Steve, and maybe take a minute and talk to us a little bit about the concept of the fear of the Lord. Because I think a lot of people hear that term a lot. We use it all the time in our worship. We use it in our churches. You know, I fear the Lord. You need to fear the Lord. What do we mean, or what does the Bible mean when the fear of the Lord is brought up in a context like that? Because that's an incredibly important verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the source, the origin of all wisdom. So if I want wisdom, I got to have this thing called the fear of the Lord.
Well, the fear of God is an awesome respect and reverence towards God. I'll give you an illustration. Just recently, I was in Washington, D.C., and we had a gentleman that used to work for us at camp who's now in the Bush administration, and he was able to give us a tour of the West Wing of the White House, the office of the President of the United States of America. It was a thrilling time.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, when you walk into that part of that building of the White House, you recognize where you are. And it would be foolish to just run around like I was in anybody's home. This is a very special place. And so there was a sense of proper respect and decor and all that goes through the White House. And so in the matter of the fear of God, it's not a fear like I'm just scared of God, like somebody is scared of somebody for killing them or may kill them. It's more like a reverence, a respect, an awe. It's what a child should have towards his parents.
Yeah, when you stood in that White House office, I'll bet it hit you at some point that the most important decisions in all of the earthly world at some point land on this desk that's sitting in this office.
The fact is, I looked at that very desk and recognized how many important decisions that affect the entire world are being made by the man sitting behind it. And so, therefore, there's going to be a great respect for it. And so that's really a proper attitude towards the fear of the Lord.
And, boy, when you think about the Lord,
yes,
and the fact that he governs everything that happens,
everything. He's the maker of heaven and earth.
I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it here.
Well, you think about it. Here we know Solomon truly feared God, first of all, by his worship. He offered on that day 1,000 lambs, burnt offering. And the whole idea of burnt offering was a complete dedication of himself to God. And this was very intense. It was an all-day event. And so it shows us his reverential fear and awe of God. And then we also see it in the words that came out of his mouth, because he said three things. He said to God, God, you have showed unto your servant David, my father, great mercy. He was grateful for God's loving kindness. He also said that my father has walked before you in truth, righteousness, and the uprightness of his heart. He had great respect for the example of his father. And then he said, Lord, he said, I am just a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. He was humble over his own sense of inability. When people have the spirit of gratitude for God's grace, respect for those whom God has brought in their lives, and a humility over their own inability, then you've got somebody who is really properly fearing God.
You know, you see it in Solomon up to a point. What's interesting about Solomon to me is that there was a departure from this at some point in his life.
Yes, he definitely drifted from fearing God. And if you know his story, it was obvious he ended up losing senses of discernment.
Like you said, the fear of the Lord, a proper perspective of God, giving God his proper reverence, putting him in his proper place in our life, is the beginning place. It's the fountainhead. It's the origin of all wisdom. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.